It's hot and cold. That's what it is. Saturday morning. Good morning. It's Tom. I'm here. I hope you're warm and comfortable wherever you are. You're not stuck somewhere freezing. It's a little nippy out there this morning, as is often is in February in the state of Maine. And that's okay. March is going to be here. It's going to get warmer, and we're going to miss the cold weather. And come July, we're going to think, you know, I'd like to have a day like we had in February when Tom was talking about it. Well, maybe, maybe not. We'll see. We'll see what happens in July. It could happen. So I got good news, bad news. Good news for you, I suppose. It could be bad news for you. I don't know. John has updated all the hot and cold podcasts on the WVOM website up till, I think, last week. So that's maybe good news. The bad news, and the bad news is this. I was stupid enough to play some of the podcasts for my wife. Now, if you listen to the show regularly, you will remember that I will confess sins I have made that I haven't told my wife about related to musical instruments of the round type, roundish type. And if she goes to the podcast and listens to some of those programs, I could be in the doghouse. Although the instruments are in a place where she does not have to dust them, and I'm sure that would hold sway. So we will see. We'll see. This is a developing story, ladies and gentlemen. It could be really bad for Tom. We'll see. We'll see. You know, I share. And, oh, well. Oh, gosh. So, you know, Big Mouth Tom. I did play it for her. She says, you know, I'm speaking on the podcast as I do on the radio. I speak. That's what I do for this 2 hours. She says, is that you? No, it's somebody. It's Mike Dow in Studio B. Anyway, I said, no, that's just the joy of electronics. You know, it just sounds a little different. And I put my radio voice. I don't speak with my radio voice at home. Except maybe if I'm hollering about something. Then I might holler in my radio voice. Such as it is. Anyway, so it's been a momentous week. I got almost all the drains plumbed in our bathroom project. And what that meant was, it was one night, maybe it was Monday night, it was really cold. I said, you know what? The hell with this. I ain't doing it. And Tuesday night, because I'm finally getting religion after, I think, 7 or 8 years of this nonsense, the curse of Oak Island is on. And my wife has made the comment more than once, well, when the curse of Oak Island is on, nothing gets done. And that didn't happen this week. This week, I got under the floor and plumbed the drains. I said, because all they're going to find is a piece of metal or a piece of wood, and they're going to get all excited, and then an hour or 2 hours, depending on how many shows they run, is going to be over. And I was right. She was right. They found a metal eye hook, eye bolt. That was a big deal. I will confess this. I had my iPad in the room with me, and instead of playing music, I did have on The Curse of Oak Island so I could listen. I could monitor just in case there was a momentous discovery. But I knew there wasn't because they would have teased the hell out of it. They would have shown a little clip of everybody wetting their pants because they found gold on Oak Island. And you know what? That didn't happen. So that's my new routine now. On Tuesday nights, if I feel like working in the project, I'm bringing the iPad out. I'll put it on so it's in the background just in case there's a Bobby Dazzler. I want to hear it, and I'll be prepared. Other than that, I will accomplish things. So I'm under the crawl space. You know, it's 30 inches tall, and I'm lying on the creeper, and I'm plumbing 2-inch PVC pipe. I've got a shower drain, a vanity drain that's got to tie into the main the main drain that goes downstream, so to speak. And it wasn't really much I had to do. It's a little challenging to do by yourself, but it was not a big deal. So I'm cutting some pipe with a recip saw, and I'm upside down, or the recip saw, excuse me, is that over my head. And, you know, as I mentioned before, when you cut PVC pipe, you get this PVC sawdust. And it's a little more insidious than wood sawdust because it's plastic, first of all. It tends to be a little more abrasive or aggressive, if you will. It sticks on clothing better. Of course, I got it all in my hair, all over my face. And, of course, even though I had glasses on, I got a piece in my eye, which didn't come out till the following morning, but it did come out. I've come to appreciate just leave it alone, and it will work itself out. And got it all plumb. But in the process, I got PVC filings all over the house again. And I kind of heard about that, even though I thought I had cleaned up well. But basically, I'm done. I've got just a vent to hook up now. It goes up through the roof. And I ain't doing that till it's warmer out. So we'll see. I'm waiting for some hardware for the vanity, and then I can put that in place, hook it all up, and I can ask the code guy to come look at it. I sent him pictures. I think he still wants to come look at it. So be it. This morning I picked up I was reluctant to do it, and I just realized I can't not have this on hand. Another coil of 12-2 Romex, because 12-2 Romex is my wiring thing. Everything is 12-2 Romex. So I picked up a full 250-foot coil. And I remember when it was like 1995 for 250 feet, and that dates me quite a bit, I guess, back into the 70s, because now it's $82. But I've got it, and I'm going to finish up the wiring this weekend. And I've finally found a replacement for the tempered glass panels for the shower stall. I got some cellular PVC beadboard that is it's about 5.5 inches wide. So I got enough to do one panel. In case it doesn't work, I didn't buy a whole bunch that I'd have to return. And I'm going to glue it together. The cool thing about cellular PVC trim and material in general is you can glue it with PVC cement. So you can make a big piece out of little pieces. And so I'm going to glue the joints together, and then I will also seal them with a neutral cure silicone on the back and make up the panels that I need to make this all beautiful. So we got to take a break. It is 8:15. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. Here's some words of wisdom from Mr. Hartford.
My friend Benny Martin tells me, he said, the main thing's wrong with your music, he said, ain't got no boom boom on it. So tonight, we're going to double up here with Gene LeBay and Roy Husky on two bass fiddles. And Big Tig, this is for you. Killed a rooster, she thought it was a duck.
All right, we're back. It is 8:22. It's hot and cold. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text is 601-207-4478. Let's see. I had a thought, the podcasts, there is a surprise. John did them slightly different than the earlier podcasts, and it's an improvement. It's a vast improvement, and you can see what it is when there's the tease to check out the podcast right there. if you can manage listening to some of this a second time, oh God, no, deliver me. Let's do this though. We'll deliver ourselves over to the phone. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes, I was just wondering. My daughter bought an 1862 old house. It's a balloon frame house, and we're getting ready to do the roof on it. We've already put the plywood on, the shingles, and we was thinking about doing blue styrofoam in between the rafters because it's some of it's 3 foot on center, 4 foot on center.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, is that something that you would do and then put the spray foam around the edges of it? Because it's only 5.5 inches deep of a rafter.
Yeah, the only potential issue is you create what's known as a hot roof. So the some shingles warranty for a hot roof, some don't. And what happens is there's just a little bit more heat buildup in the summertime, especially if it's a darker colored roof. But that biggest deal would be there might be a compromise of maybe 5 to 10% loss of longevity on the shingles because of that. I think probably architectural shingles might stand up a little bit better than others.
That's
and if what, it,
what
color is it?
Unfortunately, it is black.
Okay.
That is what color we put on.
Well, that's the biggest issue. But yeah, absolutely. Given the limitations you have, I think it's the way to go, and I wouldn't hesitate.
We actually put plywood over the top of the pine boards that were there. Does that help with that heat any?
It might a little bit. It's a little bit more insulative. I wouldn't worry about it at all, honestly. I've just, in full disclosure, put it out there. And it may be that the manufacturer warranties the shingles anyway for that. Some do, some don't.
Is there any other method that you would think of besides prop vent? Because I don't have much room.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bother with the prop vent. I would make it a hot roof. If it was mine, I wouldn't even think twice.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's it's one of those things that the only reason I say it is because I don't want to delude anybody about the idea. I would say I'm going to guess at least 50% of the manufacturers will warranty a hot roof. Bottom line is anybody has a shingle failure other than maybe in the first year or two, they're never going to get a warranty out of it anyway. So I would be surprised if they did. I know there's occasion where there's overt manufacturing defects. I don't think it's that big a deal. And again, I think architectural shingles may stand up a little bit better for a couple of reasons. They're thicker. They have more slightly more surface area to maybe shed any heat that might build up in the summertime. So for what it's worth. Let's see. Over to line two we go. Right there. Oh, Godfrey, that's not right. That just ain't going to work, is it? Text messages. Folks are happy about the podcast being updated, so that's a good thing. What else we got? In the yard over at my shop. And by the way, somebody commented that Our yard at our shop looked like a junkyard. Thank you. I appreciate the kind word. It does. I mean, we had a lot of cars spread around. They're slowly going bye-bye because we're selling a lot of cars. And it's getting neatened up, which is pretty cool. One of the problems I had in the past 3-4 months is I have several brick cars. These are cars that I'm suspecting, and these were newer Priuses, that somebody gave to their teenage child, and they ran them out of oil. For whatever reason, they didn't change the oil. It was, used some oil, and they never checked it. But they had engine issues. And I have one brick that had an electronics issue that I couldn't diagnose, so it had to go to somebody who does know what they're doing. So I had two bricks leave the driveway this week, which for all of us at our place of business is very exciting. It doesn't take much for us to be excited. For me in particular, because they're right in the middle of everything for plowing. And now I can plow with reckless abandon and clear up the yard in new record time. And we're getting down on the inventory we have on the lot just so it's easier to clear stuff up. And it's looking a little bit neater, I think. So that was pretty cool. I knew this car had a bad engine. I bought it with a bad engine. I knew it had a bad engine. No big deal there. And we're going to put a new engine in it. And it was a low mile car. Somebody did something stupid. I know that for a fact. I just don't know what they did. But I just want to have my mechanic give it his blessing before I go and spend a lot of money on a motor, which I will probably do Monday. So that's, and it's gone. It's out of my. Next time it comes back, it's going to be a running car. It was a 2013 to boot, so it's going to be pretty cool. Low mile 2013. It's going to have an even lower mile motor, so that's going to be a fun one. What else we got going on? I had a problem with the heat in my shop. It was not working right. It was running intermittently, and it seemed like it was, you know, you go to bleed the oil line, and there was air in the line. I finally found the problem, I discovered it yesterday in a moment of lucidity. Doesn't happen very often because I'm usually running around looking for something in the shop. I think I was looking for something anyway. So let me check this one thing, and I found the air leak. So I didn't fix it, but I found it. So that's you know, that first step is the important step. So that was the positive. Let's see. Bricks, bricks also known as lawn ornaments, and this was a driveway ornament because there was no lawn where these were parked. And I still have another one that is a brick with a bad engine. And I've got this would be the fourth one, I guess, that we had running, and then it kind of died on us. I know it's an electronic issue. So we're slowly getting those out of the way and getting them diagnosed and repaired. And I guess that's something to look forward to. If for no other reason, just so we have room. And the plan is, I have a tractor over at my house, and I need to get it over to work because I need to be spreading stuff around in the driveway. And I think it's going to be crusher dust. We've had this discussion before. And I like the crusher dust a lot. So that's what we're going to do. Anyway, it is 8:30 straight up. It is time for another break. We're going to take the break. When we come back, we'll take more phone calls at 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Eric, what do you got to say for yourself? Hey, we're back. It's 8:36. It's hot and cold on Saturday morning. Good morning again. It's Tom. It's hot and cold. You knew that. Phone number's 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. I just want to tell you about my friend Alan at General Appliance in Brewer. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, he's on Center Street, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. But you don't have to go. You don't have to go there. What? This is COVID time. Stay home. Pick up the phone, dial 989-4341. You probably, you know, even if you needed a part, I bet he'd mail it to you. I think he has done that. I bet he has. If he can get it in the mail or UPS, he'd probably send it to you. What a country, huh? That's General Appliance, 989-4341. It doesn't get any better than that. I'm telling you. You got somebody who knows what they're talking about, who can help you with your home appliances at 989-4341. And he's not going to take advantage of the situation. He's just going to help you. Good stuff all the way around. All right, let's do this. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Well, good morning, Tom.
Hey, boss. How are you?
Well, okay. Minus 2 this morning up here.
It was 10 degrees above my house when I left this morning. It was like summertime. I had my shorts on.
That's what you get for living down south.
Yeah, shorts and flip-flops.
two things this morning. One is, last week I questioned a little bit of something about the new Broncos. our Ford Explorers or whatever they're called there with the four-cylinder motor being underpowered. And then I believe it was another ad I saw, and I think it was Ford, and some kind of little SUV thing that had a two-liter, obviously a four-cylinder motor, 335 horsepower out of a two-liter motor. You know, to me, that sounds like a hand grenade getting ready to go off.
Well, yeah, you kind of wonder about the longevity of something like that, because it's probably turbocharged, right? For that kind of,
I guess. Oh, yeah.
And
2 liters though—that's only 122 cubic inches.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a very big motor. I can just imagine the stresses that thing is under to get 335 horsepower out of it.
Yeah.
Now, my second thing is, and, you know, you've mentioned their name in the past, so I'm not spilling any beans here, Harbor Freight. Are they still in business? I haven't seen a flyer.
I think they stopped
catalog.
The flyers. I made a stupid mistake. I was on Facebook looking at something, and there was a thing there about Harbor Freight Junkies. There's a Facebook group called Harbor Freight Junkies. So I said, well, I'll click on that. Maybe I'll find out. And I got into the settings because I don't want endless stuff coming through on Harbor Freight because I don't care. I just want to look at it on occasion. You had to sign up to look at it.
Right.
So I saw, and it just keeps coming. And I said, no, I want no notifications. And the damn stuff keeps coming. I did the same thing with a banjo thing. And, you know, this guy tells me to practice 15 minutes at a time, 14 times a day. You know, yeah, like I got nothing else to do. And I can't get that one to stop either. But they said in the Harbor Freight Junkies they were discontinuing coupons and I think the flyers.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's a cost-cutting thing.
Yeah.
But I enjoy getting the flyers just because they had coupons for free stuff if you went in the store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a whole load of flashlights and tarps and everything.
I like those
there.
Magnetic strips that you can put screwdrivers on. I am crazy for those things.
Next time
I go to Harbor Freight, I'm going to buy three more. And I must have five or six already kicking around the shop.
Yeah, and therein lies the danger. You know, that's like crack cocaine for anybody that works with tools is to go into a place like that because the prices are so low, and you always find a reason that you need something else.
Oh.
Hey, have a good day.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Well, yeah, I make the joke that if you're a male and you're in Harbor Freight, you are walking around, your mouth is open, and you're drooling. And I put myself in that category, so... For what it's worth, we've got some text messages here. I read an article of Harbor Freight stopped printing flyers because they used all the paper to print fake. Okay. that's okay. You got your check from George Soros, right? Is this the same? Is this a different one? Harbor Freight dropped their monthly catalog. You have to get coupons in the catalog from your email, and so they're virtually paperless now. I mean, you know, those flyers have it's one thing to print them. It's another thing to ship them out. And just sending this stuff out, even as bulk mail, has got to be ridiculous. And we're at a point with, you know, the spinoff of COVID is going to be this. A couple things. We're going to recognize how disease transmits a lot better because nobody's getting the flu this year. Which is pretty impressive when you think about it. Virtual meetings are becoming more and more prevalent. Although, did you see the thing where there was a lawyer was having a hearing in front of a judge, doing it on a Zoom meeting, and somebody had been using his computer, and his face was a cat, and the cat was as he spoke, the cat spoke. And he's telling the judge, I'm not a cat. You can't make that up. And then there was another Zoom meeting in the UK. And it was posted as the worst Zoom meeting ever. And it was hilarious because it was a church, like a church council, you know, local church has a group of folks who run the organization for the church. And they had this lady come in to help because they couldn't manage running the Zoom meeting which I, and these were elderly, these were pretty mature individuals, probably all post-70s, not their age, chronological age was in the 70s or more. And the head of the church group starts invoking Robert's Rules of Order. You know, like my eyes roll back in my head whenever I hear Robert's Rules of Order. And I understand the need for it, but it's like, give me a break. You know, don't tell me I can't talk right now. I'm on the radio. and the lady who was running the meeting, who was there to technically assist, who was kind of running the meeting, cut the guy off, the head guy. He just got expunged from the meeting because he was being a real jerk. It was hilarious. And the whole meeting was just all these people talking over each other on Zoom. It was great stuff. I mean, the whole concept. Here's another example. My brother, who calls himself a genius, which I have, I'll say, okay. He might listen to podcasts. I got to be careful. He works for a pharmaceutical company out west, and he makes a lot of money. He's got a PhD, and he's a medical writer, and he has worked from home for over a year now. And with no sign, and the company has realized that folks like him don't need to be in a physical space in the office to do what they do. Now, granted, there's got to be some discipline there as the one who's doing the work, but he takes his job seriously. He makes good money doing it, so he takes it seriously. And he and his wife is a lawyer. My sister-in-law is a lawyer, and they both work from home. And I don't. I have to go to work every day. I can't Zoom the cars. Well, I could Zoom the cars, but not in the way that he does. So anyway, let's see. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We've got phone calls. We're going back to the phones. That's what we're doing. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Considering putting in a whole house standby generator.
Yeah.
We'd like to perhaps ease into that process. Mm-hmm. By having a transfer switch installed. But do they make a transfer switch that would allow me to operate a portable generator for a period of time and then upgrade to a full-time standby whole house generator at a later time? And what would be a reasonable ballpark expense for such a transfer switch and installation?
Well, there's a lot of degrees of transfer switch. To me, a transfer switch is something you manually flip. You may be considering something that automatically turns on when we turn to, a hands-off system would have the generator, transfer switch, power goes down, transfer switch kicks over to the generator. Excuse me, generator starts automatically, and a little blip for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, maybe even a minute, and the generator's back up and running.
Yes.
That is a whole different animal. I don't think you're going to be able to necessarily do that. A seamless installation with a portable generator. I could be mistaken, but there's obviously some controls there that are the higher end, the fancier generators are going to have that interface with that transfer switch. So if you wanted to do a manual transfer switch, and they're not terribly expensive for choice circuits within the house, that would get you there with a relatively small generator, just to kind of get your feet wet and see how it all plays out. You'd be starting it manually, either with a push button, a electric starter or a pull cord. But that would be, I think the bigger expense in doing that would be the actual wiring. If you're doing it yourself, it's not a big deal. But the transfer switches, I've not done one, I'll be honest with you, but I think they start at around $150 and go way up from there.
Okay. All right. Hey, appreciate it.
Okay.
That.
Good luck. I would shop that, depending where you want to be. I would shop around and see what's available. I would be looking online. I'd be looking on eBay just to see what's out there, as well as places like Northern Tool, maybe Harbor Freight. you kind of get what you pay for. And I don't want to go cheap on electrical stuff I'm using for the house necessarily, especially a transfer switch or transfer system. Northern Tool would be a place to look. They're not necessarily the most affordable for what you're getting, but there's a lot there to look at. And matter of fact, I just got their catalog the other day because I had bought a couple of things from them that were reasonably priced, and one of which was a 15-foot sheetrock lift, which in hindsight I look at it and think, how did I ever live without this thing? I don't know. Anyway, back we go. Line two. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, I was the other day overheard a conversation about a person who had just purchased a couple of batteries from Tesla to power their home. This individual said that it was going to give them, at full power, these two batteries are going to allow them to run their house. And it's a single person, so I don't know. You know, I'm assuming, you know, hot water tank, maybe in a well and a boiler for 16 hours.
Yep.
I went online and looked up these. I'm assuming it's the battery that this person is talking about, and they were somewhere around $3,000 or $3,500 a piece. Now.
Right.
Now, maybe that's an inflated price on their website. I don't know. Maybe you can get it for cheaper. But that doesn't include installation either.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, my hat's off to these people that they're spending this kind of money to try to progress this. I guess they're helping to push this industry in a direction that ultimately we'll have to arrive at some point.
Mm.
But, you know, that seems like an awful lot of money for 16 hours. And in the wintertime, as you know, I mean, once you burn through that, that could be a while to recover.
Well, yeah, batteries ain't cheap. That we all kind of know that. The Tesla, they're called Powerwalls. I think they make two, 7.5 kilowatt and 10 kilowatt, if my memory serves me right.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the bleeding edge of technology, so to speak, in that they're relatively new. If you're a pioneer, kind of, this isn't really pioneering at this point technologically, but it's relatively new, so it tends to be kind of expensive, and they're not cheap batteries anyway. In the overall scheme of things, that's a pretty cheap date compared to what it was a few years ago. But if there are alternate systems that are less expensive than the Tesla. The Tesla's got name recognition, which I guess has some appeal. I'm sure the technology blends well, so it can be seamless. And of course, the real thing with this is if you have a photovoltaic system, you now have, if the power goes down, you have this storage capacity that will allow you to go for days if the sun is out. We have 50% annual sunny days in the state of Maine. It tends to be a little bit less in the end of the year, December and November. But when we get into January, February, and on, we're into that 50% range. So in theory, you may be able to carry yourself, not necessarily living an extravagant, energy profligate lifestyle, but you can live reasonably comfortably with that system. And you know, if previous caller just asked about a backup generator, those are not cheap. So that becomes a little bit of a cost benefit thing. I suspect the cost benefit's already there, and it's just going to get better, as you say. I personally wouldn't buy one right now unless I had a big PV system and I had the money to spend. I would be waiting a little bit further down the road. The Teslas, I'm sure, will get less expensive. LG is making one. There's a bunch of other companies that are all coming online, and LG being the other big manufacturer of lithium batteries, supplying Ford and GM and a bunch of other folks. So it's getting to a point where it's going to make a big difference.
I just remember Professor Hill on one of your programs saying that, he wished that the situation were reversed, because there are literally tens of thousands of scientists often in this country, but only, what, 100 or so elements to work with.
Mm.
And I remember him saying that he would have been much more encouraged if that had been reversed, because, and that stuck with me, because I thought, if you only have so much to work with, I mean, ultimately, how do you get somewhere if you don't have a vehicle to get you there?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, I had a lot of respect for that man, and when he wasn't trying to discourage, people from trying to head in that direction, but he certainly, was basically saying it's going to take a long while if we ever get there at all. That was what I took away from.
Yeah.
So.
But also bear in mind that and he and I kind of agreed to disagree. I being optimistic that technology will catch up. He was looking at this 10 years ago. In 10 years' time now, we've had significant change. Tesla Powerwall wasn't even a consideration that he and I would have discussed on the radio 10 years ago. Right. Here we are now, and you can go to, I think, Revision Energy is one of the dealers that puts them in. Call them up, say, put it in. And they're putting in bunches of them. And again, if we juxtapose that against the cost of the generator, that's a whole house system, that has to run on some form of fuel. I have a feeling the numbers are not that crazy. My view is they're just going to get better because there's enough demand out there now. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the demand wasn't there because the prices were just too high. It's all starting to change, and I think it's going to accelerate. That change will increase, and I think the cost will come down. I theorized about 10 years ago that we would, and it hasn't happened, that we would see a plug-and-play system being sold through places like Home Depot. And that hasn't happened. But when that happens, and I know it will, because the technology is getting simpler and safer, that becomes the big game changer. It's like, if you go to Home Depot and you buy a circuit breaker panel, you can put it in yourself if you know what you're doing. This is even simpler, I think, in terms of getting a system that you can hook up to that circuit breaker panel. The batteries are another story. That gets a little bit more hairy.
Yeah.
I got to let you go because we're almost out of time for the hour.
Okay.
Appreciate your call.
Right.
Thank you. We'll stay in touch. It's going to change, and it's going to continue to improve, and I have no doubt about it. There's just too many people working on it all across the world, and the prices, they continue to come down, and they're coming down. I'm seeing more and more people advertising PVs for 50 cents a watt or less. Way less, and I'm talking new, not used. Used is even less expensive, and PVs don't tend to wear out that quickly. So anyway, so it goes. It's time for another break. It's 8:56. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. We'll be right back. Right, we're back. It's 9:05, hour number two. It's hot and cold. Good morning again, Saturday morning. So we got a bunch of text messages here. Some are kind of interesting, and I'll read the first one. And first, I heard you call an engine an engine. That's proper. Then I heard you call an engine a motor. The engine is not a motor, Einstein. Okay. Did you have your Cheerios yet this morning? Is your blood sugar a little low, friend? Okay, so I had to look it up because I have somebody being facetious. Let's see. Definition of an engine is a machine that changes energy such as heat from burning fuel into mechanical motion. Okay, a motor is one that imparts motion, specifically prime mover any of various power units that develop energy or impart motion, such as a compact engine, B, internal combustion engine. Now, this is definition for motor. C, a gasoline engine. Okay, I think maybe you need to change the station if I upset you that much. It's always good to troll people first thing on Saturday morning, isn't it? Can you recommend a stop leak product for power steering? Believe the hole in the hose is not leaking profusely. No. I can tell you from experience, most stop leak products I have messed with have been a problem. Change the hose. I know. You can use ATF fluid in a pinch if you need to, but you should probably change the hose. You say it's not leaking profusely. But if it's a hose leak, you know, if it's a seal, you might get away with it, but I don't think you're going to. Oh, God, I'm not even going there. Let's see. What's the layman's explanation on what PSI to charge a boiler expansion tank to when installing? About 15, 20 PSI. And let's put that out there for folks in radio land. Fan club's waiting patiently for Pete's weekly update, and he will be here to update in a bit, so for what that's worth. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039, text is 601-207-4478. I had a couple things I was looking for in my shop, and you know, I go roaming in there, and it's just been so cold. I just let stuff kind of, I put it in the general vicinity of where I want things to be. And then, of course, I can find something. I had a customer who needed a fuse box for a Prius. I knew I had one on the shelf somewhere. And ultimately, I asked Maria to come in and look with me because she knows when I'm looking for something. a fresh set of eyes makes all the difference, and she goes right to it. I don't understand how she did it, but there are general vicinities for different parts, and she laid her hands on it. This has happened a couple times this week, so when the time comes, we'll deal with it. Okay, I'm not answering the questions about starter motor, starter engine, okay? I think you need to let it go, sir, or madam, whoever you are. Okay, motor, I was talking about a gasoline engine, gasoline motor, one and the same. Okay, we got a phone call. Let's go there. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, everybody's going to have to use their elbow or they're going to have to hug a person twice as much in this cold damn weather.
How cold is it this morning where you are?
Oh, man. It's just been a single digits.
Oh.
Very cold. I'm filling up my wood stove and all. But anyway, I just wanted to say my funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art. Nice after pneumonia, huh?
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you.
Lesson in Greek. Is your mouth a little weak when you open it to speak? Are you smart? Don't change your hair for me. Now that you care for me, stay, little Valentine, stay. You and Pete and your wife and everybody that's listening and all over the place, smile a little bit on Valentine's Day and be happy.
Thanks, Margie. You take care of yourself. Stay warm.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. It was, I went to bed last night, I think it was 6. I got up this morning, it was pushing 10 degrees, so it got warmer. This week, my wife is upset about the weather. She says it has not been really cold enough yet. I mean, we haven't had the below zero, at least where we are. It'll change. So... let's see. What else we got? Our phone number again, 1-800-966-1039, 601-207-4478. Either way, we'll have Pete on in a few minutes. What else we got? Oh, so, you know, in this weather, I find that it's challenging being... I spend all day basically working outdoors, and everything is... I've got... I'm dressed, got the layers... Except for my shoes. My shoes, they over the course of the day, they get wet. So I invested in a boot dryer, electric boot dryer. So at some point this past week at least, where it's been as cold as it has, put them on for a few minutes and try to dry them out because this is the kind of weather, again, it's not Arctic like it could be. But if your feet are cold or your shoes are wet, there's much more likelihood of frostbite happening. So, for what it's worth. What else we got? That's just for those of you who are musical instrument collectors, somebody out there has Earl Scruggs's banjo case, not the banjo, just the case, $4,000. That seems like a reasonable price for a $60 banjo case. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
$4,000.
Hello? Hello? Okay. All right. Let's see. We've had five. Got a message here. Five below so far in Ellsworth. Yeah, we've had a few that have teetered on the. Where I am, it hasn't gotten. I haven't seen it go below zero yet this year. It's been in single digits, but it's not been below zero. So, to me, it's been a relatively. I mean, it's what kind of relative? You're up north, and it's not 30 below. I guess it's probably still a reasonably warm winter. Over to line two we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, you seen the hand warmers? Things that come in a little package.
Yeah.
They also make toe warmers.
I know. I don't have enough room. I have big feet. And I'm kind of nervous about, because I had frostbite a couple times over the past couple of years, and I'm kind of nervous about having it be too hot and not realizing it. So, and this gives me a reason to come back in the office, take my boots. It was kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies: take your shoes off, put them on the dryer, and sit there at my desk, get warmed up.
Pluto TV, you could watch. They have a Beverly Hillbillies channel.
That's okay. I don't need to. That's good to know. I have it, but I've not partaken. Appreciate your call. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the Beverly Hillbillies were a moment in time. I'll leave it at they were a moment in time. Not necessarily the greatest moment in television either. Let's see. We're going to take a break here. It's 9:15 straight up. When we come back, we'll take more calls at 1-800-966-1039 and text 601-207-4478. It's hot and cold. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, let's hit the right thing there. There we go. What's wrong? It's hot and cold. That's what it is.
This is L.A. All I want to do is have a little fun before I die. Sit the man next to me.
Y-O-D-A, Yoda. Yo-yo-yo-yo-yoda.
All right, we're back. It's 9:18, and the special music this morning means only one thing, that our own voice of reason and knowledge is upon us, and that's Pete on line three. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Okay.
You know, I want to sell cars. I'll sell cars in any kind of weather you want.
Yeah.
If you want to come in the middle of the night in a rainstorm, I'll sell you something. But I've had three people out in the lot this morning looking around already. It's 12 degrees. What are you doing? Just wait a little while. It's weather wandering around.
It always happens that way, that somebody will come in when it's pouring rain or we're just 2 minutes from closing, and we don't mind staying usually, but it's usually on a day when it's like it's zero and it's dark and it's windy that they say, well, can I come in? I'll be there at quarter to four, and they come about quarter after, and that's okay.
It's just I feel like it's too cold to be like looking at the car. I'm looking at the cars from in the office. It was 39 degrees in the office when I got here. I got it up to 50.
All right. Well,
so it should be about comfortable by the time you get here.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good.
Listen, I want you to do me a favor.
Okay.
All right. You work hard. All right. I want you to treat yourself today after the show.
Okay.
Don't come back down here right away. I think I can handle this. I think I've got it under the two people that are going to want to test drive something today. I think I can cover it. I want you to go to Martin's and browse.
Okay. Why?
Well, you were complaining the other day. You never get to go to Martin's anymore.
I miss going. You know, I used to be.
Go to Martin's.
When I lived in Bangor, it would be like 7 o'clock. I probably was home from work, took my nap, and I like, you know what? I'm going to Martin's.
how did you take a nap? Weren't like the cops calling? And
yeah, well, that was after we dealt with the cops. we had teenage boys, but the I would just go and look around to see if there was any great deals. And the usual great deal I would find would be a box of plumbing parts they sold by the pound. And so I would buy like faucets and stuff for maybe $1 a pound or something. And, you know, it needed handles or something like that. And that was, and nobody knew what, or there were things that were not quite identifiable unless you were a plumber. And that would just kind of make my day. Didn't take much to make my day. Still doesn't. So, yeah, thank you. I appreciate the offer. Yeah. But I've already been to Home Depot and I got stuff to do today. So, I bought another roll of Romex, Pete, so you know what that means.
All right.
Yeah. We got a couple of text messages here. Tom, longtime fan, buyer vehicles new, had a Prius 2010 vintage, liked it, went to a 2016 Passat. Also like it. Giving some thought going back to a hybrid, really interested in the Honda Accord hybrid, your opinion. I'll be honest, I have not looked at it closely. I can't say anything real negative about Honda hybrids, or for any Honda car for that matter. I think they're extraordinarily reliable. The batteries on the older hybrids, and I'll include the current ones, Hondas at least, were not readily rebuildable, so that didn't pique our interest. We've dealt with a number of the older hybrid Hondas, and they were pretty decent cars. The Accord is a little bit bigger car, so the miles per gallon will be a little bit less. I would look at a couple of things. Given probably the price range of the Honda Accord hybrid, I'd also consider the RAV4 hybrid, just as because if you want four-wheel drive, it may be that you're in a similar performance range and price range. So. Let's see. This is a long message.
I'm a Honda guy, and if I was looking at a hybrid, I think I would probably lean a little bit more towards a Toyota hybrid.
Yeah. Vehicles we have collectively had our consumer common sense replaced with common core programming. Let me explain. Rather than insisting upon basic, highly durable and reliable vehicles that are priced within reach of most people, we consumer prefer to load automobiles up with thousands of dollars worth of Pacific Rim manufactured electronic gizmos. Go to any new or used car lot for evidence of my observation. Get with the people. Very true. Very true. Scares the hell out of me. We just had a 2017 Prius Prime Advance. It's a gorgeous car. Had electronics up the wazoo. My experience has been that they're pretty durable. But if anything breaks, it's going to be expensive. And the not the least of which is the big, and most cars have some kind of big LCD screen in them.
Yeah.
And that's where I really like to deal with older Priuses because we have access to the parts. As I mentioned earlier, we have shelves of parts that we have for these applications. So if somebody needs, say, a center display in a 2008 Prius, I have one on the shelf. I usually charge like $50. I'll bet you if you had to buy it new, it's pushing $1,000.
Well, even then, I mean, how much is the one in that Prime Advance going to cost? And if you buy that sooner or later, if you live in Maine, you're going to have to move something long, you know, a piece of wood or whatever. And it's going to go in that back hatch, and it's going to be sitting right in front of that screen. You hit those brakes hard once. I had to hit them yesterday when I was in Bangor. Somebody tried to sideswipe me. And if I was in a Prime with a 2x4 in there, it would have gone right into that screen.
Well, we've had two cars with center displays that were smashed, I'm sure, because somebody had a 2x4 in there or something else, and it just took it out. And one worked, one didn't. I mean, that would kind of get to me, driving around with a smashed screen like that.
Yeah, no, that would have to. I
couldn't deal with it because a lot of information is on that center display. And for a while, they didn't have a huge display. Now everybody's putting them in, so Toyota's done it. The good news is maybe by the time they become an issue, there'll be enough out there in terms of the aftermarket that it won't be stupidly expensive.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen. I had a friend who has a new RAV4 hybrid, and he went to put the car into the garage and caught the mirror and didn't do any, he busted some plastic, and that was a little piece of plastic, maybe it's encircling the mirror. So you know how big a rearview mirror is, maybe 5 inches by 6 inches, something like that. And it was just a trim piece that went around it. And the trim piece is the width of a pencil. And I looked it up because it's broken, and he would have to replace it. It was $62. Now, granted, that's a dealer price, and is what it is. I mean, it's $62. There's a question as to whether or not the side sensor, which is integrated in the mirror, was damaged. If it is, that's $1,800.
What does that sensor do?
It, and they're not even using that side. I think it's for if you drift out of your lane. It's a radar type thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's how they get you, letting the car drive itself.
So the you could pick up a used one for $200. I found one for $200 if and when they want to replace it. It doesn't look that bad. It's not going to fail inspection because of that. It's just is what it is. Papa Bear sent a message. Any knowledge on the new all-electric Mustang? Not a lot. Other than what I've read, everybody really likes it. They're kind of disappointed because it's not a big muscle Mustang and being overtly aggressive looking, but it kicks butt when you drive it because it's an electric car. It just has, you know, all kinds of torque. So, but.
There was a guy a couple of years back when we were still in Bangor. I remember you telling me about it. A couple of young guys, they converted a car to electric, and they couldn't find batteries. So what they did was they took a bunch of laptop batteries, and they put them in series, like recycled ones.
Mm-hmm.
That was lithium, and it went like 0 to 60 in like 1.9 seconds or something stupid like that.
Yeah, that's basically how the Tesla battery is made. They're a little bit bigger version of a laptop battery, and you know, that's got some age on it now, and I'm kind of surprised that they haven't changed to something different. I guess you stick with what you know. And the Tesla Powerwall we discussed earlier, first hour, is also made the same way. It's using the same cells. And there's a newer version from the original cells. It's a little bit bigger, a little bit better capacity, but it is a... It's kind of, you know, there's thousands of these things, and they're all wired in series, and there's redundancy built into the system, but it's like, is this the best way to do this? I guess it is. I don't know. As it turns out, a few years ago now, the chief technology I only had three drinks this morning. The chief technology officer for Tesla bought a heat storage system from us, and it was all I could do to not just want to ask him a million questions. He was spending money with me, so I didn't.
Yeah.
Just okay. How are you paying for that? And really nice guy. He's a kid. I think he may even be younger than you, Pete. And you're pretty young, relatively speaking.
Well, compared to you, I'm pretty young. Yeah. I know. I'm getting to that point. People are like, what do you want to do for your birthday? I'm like, nothing. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break here. Give the phone numbers and text line. Phone number 601. Yeah, phone numbers 1-800-966-1039. The text is 601-207-4478. I get it right eventually. And, we'll hit the music, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's hour number two, isn't it? Yeah, hour number one and a half. And we got Pete with us. Hey, we got Tony Monaco in here with us here too. He's going to talk to us. So, okay. Tony Monaco, for those of you, this is my go-to guy for when I work in the edition now. He has a podcast on two or three times a week, and it's on YouTube. And it's just funky jazz, Hammond B3 organ music. And he talks to the audience, kind of like I do, except I don't play the Hammond B3 organ. So that's probably a good thing. So we
I
got.
Feel like you slip. I feel like you're slipping away into dementia.
Well, I am. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I at my age, the arteries are hardening.
Well, and I put on Tony Monaco when he talks to me.
He does talk to me, Pete. I mean, you know, if I.
Like a late 60s lounge in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm
crappy little casinos.
I'm into it. I tell you what. Oh, let's see. Got a phone call right over there on line one. I think we should take it. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess so.
Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to give you a heads up on a solar inverter I purchased myself. You were talking about a plug-and-play model.
Hmm.
It's a product out of Texas. It's made by a group of engineers that were in the military. And basically what it is it's a... it is plug and play. It's called Solark, SOL-ARK. And they have up to 20,000 watt surge capacity on it. You can put up to 12K of solar panels on it. And it does everything, everything. And it's virtually very simple for someone to hook up.
Okay.
It is a little pricey, but they also have an EMP proof one. Inverter, which is very interesting, as well as the solar panels. So,
okay.
I don't know if people are interested in that, but you might want to check that out.
I wrote it down, and I'm looking at the website now. Of course, I'll have to read it later, but I'll remember it because it's an easy website to remember. SOL-ARK.com. Got it right here.
Works really well. It does grid tie. It does battery backup, hybrid system. It does everything.
Yep.
And generator input, smart load input,
and you know that's the kind of that this is the kind of thing that really lends itself well to the technology making sense for folks. So I'm going to look it over. Right. I'll hopefully have a at least a semi intelligent comment for next week.
They claim that they're growing at 300%. It's remarkable. I think per quarter. I mean, that's how fast.
Just from what a little bit I've seen, the idea that you can hybridize everything into one central unit is appealing to a lot of people, because especially if it is workable as a DIY, because you basically are just plugging things in and it goes. And
the good thing too, as well, is the tech support is phenomenal. It's not out in India somewhere. People right out of Texas. You're talking to. Sometimes you're talking to the owner of the company.
That's a good thing.
So,
that's an excellent thing. Yeah. Okay.
Really good. So
I'll look it over. Right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye. Yeah. I have to say I have a mortgage. Okay, on one of my properties, and the consumer support line is out of India. Now I don't want to call somebody in India and have them ask me my Social Security number. I just have this. I mean, if I'm going to get screwed by somebody, I would much rather have it happen from a good old American. it's disquieting because, you know, at least you have the potential for some recourse if there was some kind of compromise that takes place, because we're all in the same country that way. And it makes no sense. It's disquieting to me that a company I'm giving money to is outsourcing telephone support. I mean, come on.
Have you ever had to call eBay's customer support?
Yes.
They're outsourcing out of Ireland now.
Is it really?
Yeah, so you get some apathetic Irishman who doesn't care.
Oh, well, that could be fun, though. I could find that entertaining, at least.
I don't find it entertaining.
No.
I explained my whole problem, and he just sat there in dead silence, like, what do you want me to do about it, lad? I'm Ireland.
We used to do business with a company in Bangor, Northern Ireland. We're bringing in solar collectors from there. And we became kind of one of their best customers. This is way back in the 80s. And they would send people over from Northern Ireland to see what we were doing, the technology we had developed, and just guys from working on the line. They'd come for 2-3 days, whatever, and it was interesting to be able to sit and talk with them. I remember one fella, and you were probably 3 or 4 at this point, so you don't remember, but had him over the house, and I figured, forgive me for stereotyping, but I said, should we get some beer? And I'm not a beer drinker. And I said, he said, yeah. So what kind would you like? It's Budweiser. They love Budweiser beer, which is fascinating to me, given all the historic brews they have over there. But it was great fun to meet people from Ireland. And I wound up over there for a couple of days as well. And checking into the motel, there was this guy ahead of me with a babe on each arm. He was a short guy, and he had two model-like looking women on either arm. And I heard his voice, and it was Jackie Stewart, the race car driver. And I'm like, the guy was with me, Bob, that's Jackie Stewart. And for those of you who know Jackie Stewart, the race car driver is, he was a very famous race car driver back in the 70s, 80s. So that's what that's all about. It was great fun, though. Beautiful place. I'd love to go back there. Being as Peter's mother and half of his ancestry, or a quarter of your ancestry now, because you got watered down with my DNA, is from Northern Ireland. So let's go back to the phones, Pete.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough family stories for once. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering if Tom would give me some advice on metal roofs.
Sure, you're talking to Tom.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
I didn't realize I was on.
You're on.
Okay. Anyways, enjoy your music. Great show.
Thank you.
So metal roofs in Maine on a camp is 24 or 28 gauge. What's your recommendation?
Thicker is better, but most metal roofs seem to be around 29 gauge. And I don't think, especially for a camp, that's particularly a problem. You can get heavier gauge if you like. But I would say 29 gauge is adequate. I think that's what we have on our office. I haven't had any issues with it. Are you going over an existing roof, old shingle roof?
Yeah, it's a single roof, asphalt shingle right
okay.
now.
So what you would do if you're getting the screw down type roof, you would strap it every 2 feet horizontally, which would give you a something solid to screw to, because there's gaskets on the screws that hold the roof down, and they have to get squished down. If you're trying to screw into shingles, you may not get a good compression of the gasket. But and that also evens up anything that's going on in terms of the roof not being quite flat. And it's also easier than having to strip the shingles, as it turns out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about standing seam?
Standing seam, a little bit different animal. I used one on our addition. I think that was also 29 gauge, and they have a snap seam that goes together, you know, goes down, and that has one edge that has a flange that nails down, and then again you would probably do the strapping deal, and the adjacent panel snaps over the standing seam. It's a little more complicated than the screw down roof, but there's no exposed fasteners, and a little bit more metal work, because at the bottom edge you're going to put drip edge on, and then you've got to sort of make a little bit of a hem piece that you're going to fold over the drip edge to hold that bottom edge down. So there's a little bit of metal work that's involved, but I bought a tool for making that bend. It was 16 inches wide. I think it was $30, and then a couple of hand tools, and you're in business. And it goes pretty fast, especially if there's two of you doing it.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate the advice. Thanks.
Okay. Good luck. You'll have fun. It's kind of a fun project. It's kind of, you know, it's instantaneous gratification. Pete helped me when I got started doing the roof, and then I just did it. Most of it, a lot of it by myself, and even by myself, it went pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I guess the other end, there's a lot of detail parts, trim pieces that you may or may not need. If it's just a straight gable roof, it's pretty simple to map out. In my case, we were up against another building, so I got some trim pieces I didn't need. But you can't return them because everything's custom made. But you know, we're talking maybe I spent about $40 extra. But I've got sheet metal to play with now.
Yeah, that's not bad for an overage.
Yeah, it is reasonable. So the screw-down roofing, you can get at places like Home Depot. The place I got my screw-down roofing that we used on our office and the standing seam that I got for my house, I got from Crescent Lumber, and they manufactured the product right here in Maine, which is a big plus for me. And they had the order ready in like a day or two after I placed the order. Usually you have to wait a week if you're dealing with somebody who's bringing it in from out of state. So I like the idea. And then there was a couple of pieces I needed extra, and they banged them out within a day. So can't beat that.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got time. Let's go to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, good morning, Tom.
Hi.
I just had a pump assist, brand spanking new, over-engineered septic system installed last fall, and I missed gravity feed by 4.5 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what I'm worried about, of course, is power failure, and I'm thinking about getting a generator this spring or summer and installing that. How much... Do you have a ballpark idea how much it would cost to hook that up to my well pump and my septic?
I'll be honest with you, I don't. If you're talking about just a small unit, you know, that might have a power start, you know, you hit a button to start it. If it's a central type unit that kind of kicks on when the power goes off, thousands of dollars. I don't know how much, to be honest. A small portable one would do the trick as well. The saving grace here with the pump is this. It isn't necessarily that you're going to have that pump coming on a lot. If you lose power for a couple hours, I don't think you're going to overflow the tank and back up into the house. You know, there's some
right.
capacity there. We have a pump on the septic we have at the shop. And I think for any time when we have had a power outage, we've never had an issue with it. Obviously, though, you do want well water. So if you have well water, right. you can run the pump because the pump is running yeah. pretty intermittent. Both right. pumps are running
yeah,
intermittent.
I wasn't wondering about the cost of the generator itself. I was wondering about the electrician cost to hook it up.
Oh, I have less of a clue about that. Just because there's a couple of ways to deal with this. One is to have a whole house transfer switch or some circuit transfer switch that can get into some money. I know after the ice storm, I was a little bit concerned. We were blessed during the ice storm. We did not lose power for more than about 10 minutes. I lived in Bangor right on Broadway, so we were on the road to St. Joe's. But at any rate, what I did do after that is I disconnected the power that went to the boiler, and I introduced a socket and a plug outside of the fuse panel, the circuit breaker panel, so I could unplug that mission critical component for me and plug it into an extension cord to run it, you know, from a generator outside if we lost power, so the house wouldn't freeze.
Okay.
So that, you know, and that's pretty simple. That's pretty inexpensive, and it's pretty rudimentary. It's manual in terms of doing the switchover, but it's also very safe.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you
All
very
right,
much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Okay. Bye bye. Which reminds me, I had a text message earlier about that. Let's see if we can find it here. No, that ain't it. Somebody want to know if Pete's coming on today?
I am.
Pete's here.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You can see the future.
This is kind of unrelated, but slightly related. Retransfer switch. What do you think about a knife switch between utility and switch box? I saw one on Amazon. Also, my boiler tech said he runs his generator into the dryer plug, which gets into the switch box for the whole house, switching off utility power, of course. Yeah, you can do that. I've always kind of grimaced when we're talking about energizing the whole house because of the potential there for someone forgetting. You get to my age and you forget to flip the main breaker off, and then you're backfeeding the system, which can create a problem. God forbid, if somebody's out on a line somewhere, that line is live, they're going to get killed. So I like the idea of just having if it's a refrigerator, you can unplug that and plug it into an extension. It isn't the most convenient thing in the world to have to run some extension cords around, but it's inherently safe. And fortunately, we don't see a lot of I don't see a lot of long-term power outages. Other parts of the state, we do. And there, I would really highly recommend you have a electrician come in and do this transfer switch.
It's weird. You don't really lose power where you are.
No.
Like you lose it once in a while, but yeah. Whenever we've lost it down in, on the Route 1 corridor, like it'll be out up here for, you know, a day,
yeah.
And whereas you'll have power the whole time.
Yeah, Pete's 2 miles from where I live, and I will have power and he won't, and that seems right.
It's fair.
Got a text message here. The organ music is what they play to sedate nursing home patients. Well, it keeps me calm, okay? What's that say? Jackie Stewart died last year, I believe. My friend Wayne Carini, Chasing Classics, knew him. And Tom, I want to say I am jealous you know Wayne Carini, because that's one of my favorite shows on the Motor Trend channel. That, and there's another one, I think it's called Full Classic Cars. That is the best show out there. There's no hype, just this guy in a little shop in California makes amazing stuff. Another text message, propane company gave me an estimate to put a 300-gallon tank and hook up the generator and house to propane, and the house to the propane tank for $2,300. That's reasonable. That was a Generac 7.5 kilowatt propane generator. Oh, the generator was separate, excuse me. That was $1,800 for the generator, and then $2,300 to do the tank and the hookup. So we're into that, what, $4,100 bucks.
So still, those Generacs run on propane?
Yeah. Well, they can. Oh. And it's. I think it's desirable to run them on propane. They just...
because then it can sit.
Can sit, and they last a lot longer. And I will bear witness to the fact we had propane forklifts over a good time of the time we've been in business, and the oil never got dirty on those forklifts. I mean, I checked the dipstick, you know, to look at it, and it was always clear as a bell. It just was amazing how cleanly those motors ran. And we got a whole bunch of phone calls here. Let's go back to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to pass some information along. Everybody's talking about transfer switches.
Yes, sir.
I have a product that I bought called GenerLink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the size of a coffee can.
Okay.
The electric company came out and installed it for me. Basically, all they did was shut the power off, pop the electric meter off, plug this can into where the meter goes, then plug the meter in on top of it.
I see that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and all you do, that eliminates wiring and transfer switch, and you're not limited to whatever transfer switch breakers you bought. You can use anything in your house, whatever your generator can handle.
Yeah.
So you use your existing breaker box, and all it is a matter of plugging your cord into that thing behind your meter.
Mm-hmm.
Plug it into your generator and then start it up, and then turn on what you want, what you need, and what leave off what you don't need.
Yep.
And if you have a big enough generator, you can run everything.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Appreciate that. Thank you. They sell them at Home Depot, too. I'm looking at on the Home Depot site here.
Yes, I paid like $700 for mine, but there's a bigger one you can buy, too, that's like $900, I think.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. That's the fun thing about this radio show is folks who have gotten experience here on these things.
They get to be the beta testers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't always have to be the beta tester.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you think about it, everybody's a beta tester for something at some point. When you find something that works, you want to let other people know.
Yeah. And that's I look at that as a great hopefully one of the things that we do, you know, I'll tell you about some of the text messages that came in today, Pete, that I'm not going to repeat on the air.
Somebody out there is listening to, like, that one was mine. He's talking about mine.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. We got, let's see if we can squeeze in one more here real quick. Good morning. Yep. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello?
Hi. Let me shut that off.
Yeah. I got about a minute and a half, hopefully.
Okay. I'm building a new house and thinking about natural gas compared to heat pumps or hot water heat pump.
Yeah.
Where do you think natural gas is headed?
I think If I had my druthers, and I have a friend who had the same dilemma a couple of years ago, I would be leaning towards the heat pumps. I think you have more flexibility, and you're not locked in to the natural gas, and the functionality of the heat pump gives you air conditioning in the summer, and gives you heating at a cost equivalent to natural gas. And different animal to deal with, but it does work well. And I think that proof is in the pudding. Plus, there are efficiency main rebates for both the heat pump water heater and the mini split heat pump that you could use for central heating. Now, I would want to talk to my person who's putting it in to see if they think this could be a standalone system, or do you need a backup, which might be some electric resistance heat. A lot of these new systems are probably getting pretty close. And the bottom line here is, how efficiently are you insulating the house? How well are you insulating the house? And how efficient will the house be? We got to go because we're out of time. Pete, thank you for calling in.
You are absolutely welcome.
And we'll see you all next week.
All right.
I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T. Rubble's more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles.